It starts here in Philippians, moving on along, Philippians chapter 4, and we're just going to cover a few verses this morning. Just a few verses this morning. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. Alright, Philippians 4, and verses 10 through 13. And we're going to take a look at those verses here. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. And the main phrase that we're going to focus on this morning is found in verse 11, where Paul says these words, "For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He says, "I've learned to be content." Notice, it's something that you can learn. It can be learned. And this morning we're going to focus on that idea of being content. That is such an important area of life. Because when you're not content, you're miserable. We all are. When we're not content, we are unhappy. We feel like something's missing. We feel like we deserve something maybe, and we're not getting what we deserve, so we get upset. We're not satisfied. This is a battle. And that's why I like these words that Paul gives to us. "I've learned to be content." We can learn how to be content. And we'll talk about how he learned how to be content. But he starts in verse 10 by thanking the Lord. You know, we need to give thanks to the Lord for the good things that God gives us. And he's rejoicing in the Lord for, again, the church of Philippi. He was so thankful for this church because of how they took care of him. And that's what he says in verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again." And that's your blank on the paper. Your care of me hath flourished again. So I'm just thanking the Lord for your care for me. What a blessing. You know, it's a blessing when people care for you, when people love you, when people are kind to you. And if there's ever any place where we should find that, it should be in the church. And Paul said, "I'm thankful for you Philippians because you've taken care of me." Paul was a traveling preacher, so he lived by faith. Yes, he had a profession. He did tent making. We know that. But there were other times where he didn't. Basically, the tent making for Paul was when he had to do it. I mean, if there was no support coming in, well, you got two choices. Work and eat, or don't work and don't eat, right? If you have no support coming in, you got no money. You know, they didn't have credit cards back then. All right, so it's not like Paul could have just charged everything on his account, like some people do today. No money, oh, well, I'll just put it on the card. Paul didn't have that option. So when the money didn't come in, yes, he had to work, and he was a tent maker. He had a trade to fall back on. But that wasn't his number one goal. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "They which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." So when Paul received support, he was very appreciative because that freed him up. That freed Paul up to do more ministry. You see, if Paul had to do tent making, it took away from the ministry. So Paul said, "I'm thankful for you taking care of me so I can do the work of the Lord." That's how it was. So Paul says, "Your care of me hath flourished again." The Philippian church did not send Paul nice little cards saying, "We love you, we're praying for you, hope everything works out." And then that was it. And Paul would say, "Oh, thanks." No, they sent him money. And you know, that's the proof right there. You know, anybody could say, you know, "Oh yeah, I hope everything works out for your ministry," or I hope everything's good, we'll be praying for you. But when you start giving money to that ministry, now you've put some real power behind it. That's, wow, these people really are serious about me. You know, it's not just talk. And look at James chapter 2. We're good at talking sometimes. James chapter 2. Even in our Christian lingo, amongst, you know, ministries, we're good at talking sometimes. "Oh, you know, oh, we're really excited about your ministry. You know, we really hope it works out, but we have no intentions of joining it. We have no intentions of supporting it. We're just saying nice things." And listen to what James says in James 2:16. Actually, let's go back to verse number 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, we're talking about here a situation that someone has legit needs, serious needs. Verse 16, and one of you say unto them, oh, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? What good are those words? Somebody comes into your pathway with genuine needs, and you just say to them, oh, well, hope everything works out for you. I'll be praying for you. And you do nothing to help them. James says, what does that profit? He says, you better put some actions to your words. That's what James talks about. So Paul was thankful for the Philippian church because they didn't just talk about supporting Paul. They didn't just talk about how much they liked Paul. They proved it by supporting him. You see? And that's Philippians 4 verse 10. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again. And then he talks about how there was a little time where they weren't able to help him all the time. He says, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul understood that there were times where they had good intentions, but they lacked opportunity. Maybe they couldn't. But he understood. So Paul was thankful for their care. And then we go to verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. He says, I'm not saying these things to you because I want you to give me more. He says, I just want to let you know I'm thankful for your support. He says, I'm not sending you this letter to ask for more support. That was never Paul's intent. You know, Paul did not demand support from the churches he worked for. He said, I don't want to be chargeable unto any of you. He says, because I don't want anybody to say, oh, Paul's doing it just for the money. Paul was under the microscope. Paul was always under the microscope. I think more than many others, Paul dealt with criticism. And Paul did all he could do to live a life above reproach. To the point where he said, I'm not even going to ask for support. He says, if I have to, I'll work. He says, I don't want anybody to ever say that, oh, Paul's doing this for the money. Because Paul was always being scrutinized by the people in the churches he started. And then we've done some other book studies where we've seen how sometimes other religious groups would attack Paul, like the Judaizers, the ones who would come into the churches after Paul left. Paul would start the church and leave, and these other religious groups would come in, these other Jewish teachers would come in and say, oh, well, Paul's this and Paul's that, and you should do it this way. Paul was always under criticism. He was, you know, he had a tough life. So he said, I don't want to ask for support. And that's what he says in verse 11. I'm not asking for more money. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, I have learned to be content, whether I have a little or whether I have a lot. Amen. And that is the lesson that we need to learn. So your next blank is, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. Having satisfaction in your heart for the things you already have. The opposite of contentment is covetousness. Covetousness is wanting more than you already have. Not being satisfied with what you have. Now let's look at some verses about this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if somebody would read for us verses 6 through 8, short verses. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8.
From which some have swerved.
Is that chapter 6?
Oh, chapter 6.
Yeah, chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. First Timothy 6, 6 through 8. Starts with, but godliness.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Great verses of the Bible. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the way to be a truly rich person, is to be content and godly. Both. Be a godly person who's content. And the Bible says that's great gain. More so than having all kinds of money. and possessions. He says what's really great gain, what will really make you a rich person in God's eyes and in your own heart, is just to be content and godly. He says, hey, verse 7 is a great reminder. We brought nothing into this world. We came into this world with nothing, and we will leave it all behind. He says we can carry nothing out. So just the same way you came into the world is the same way you're going to leave the world. Empty-handed. You're not taking any of it with you. And that's why verse 8 is so simple. The simple things of life. Food and clothing. Be content with those things. And I believe under raiment also would include shelter. You know, obviously having a roof over your head. But if you have those basic needs met, food, clothing, a roof over your head, God's Word says, be content with those things. Don't worry about all the extra toys and all the extra gadgets and all the extra things. Don't worry about those things. Food and clothing, therewith to be content. Sometimes, though, we want more. You know, we're not satisfied unless we... Some people aren't satisfied unless they have a closet full of clothing, you know, or, you know, 30 pairs of shoes, or, you know, 50 dresses. And, you know, the thing is, you can only wear one at a time, right? You can only wear one pair of shoes at a time, you know, so all that during another time, the other ones are just sitting there, right? So, if you have clothes, you have basic needs, you have a few outfits, you should be good, right? Hebrews 13:5. Let's have somebody read that for us. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Adela, go ahead. See, this verse shows us why we should be content. Because when you have the Lord in your life, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that alone should satisfy you. See, what happens is when we are covetous, we're basically saying to God, God, you haven't given me enough. I mean, we would never say those words, but that's what's going on in our heart when we're covetous, when we're not content. We're basically grumbling to God, saying, Lord, I don't like what you've given me. I want more. We act sometimes, you know, this is how children act sometimes, and we have to teach our children to be content, because children struggle with that also. We do too. And we need to be careful. It says, let your conversation, meaning your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Whatever you have, be thankful for it. John? It depends on what area. There's certain areas of life where maybe contentment, for example, I think one area it can happen in is maybe in church life. Sometimes people can become content where the way things are and they don't want to grow. I think we need to have a balance. You know, I think there's a happy balance when it comes to the church. Everybody here, I think, would agree. Sure, we want the church to grow. We'd like to see more people come into the church, right? But we're also very thankful for the people that are here. So you see, we need to have a balance. I think sometimes maybe some can get so focused on who's not here that they forget to be thankful for those who are here. And I think we need to have a balance, right? You know, I, as a Sunday school teacher, you know, I don't want to look across here and say, oh man, they're not here, this person's not here, and then be all depressed and upset because of who's not here. I'm thankful for you who are here. And that's the way I want to have an attitude. I want to be thankful for those who are here. But sure, we should never become, and what John is saying is a valid point, we should never become complacent in our Christian life where we're just content with the way things are and we just want to take it easy. We should always desire to grow closer to the Lord, seek His will, and if it's, you know, whatever God's will is, to push forward towards it, yes. But as far as this area in particular, what Paul's talking about is material possessions. Material possessions. And he's saying, he said, I'm content with whether I have a lot or a little. Then, look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse number 20. And let's have somebody read Proverbs 27:20. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. You know, the eyes of man are never satisfied. That is just human nature, is what this verse is saying. It is simply human nature to always want more. We are all this way. It happens sometimes where we have something on our list that we would like to have, and we get that item. And how long does the happiness last? Short window. Because not long after we obtain whatever item it is we wanted, then we begin seeing something else. Ooh, I'd like to have that item now. And it's a never-ending process. You will never be fully satisfied if you're just constantly looking for material possessions to satisfy you. Because as soon as you get that one item that you have on your list, oh, I got it. This is the item I got to have. You know, I got to get this. You know, this new thing that just came out. I got to get this. And once I get this, man, I'm going to be happy. Not for long. All right? Yes?
Hi. My husband and I, we call William the one machine. Because we want something. This is the last thing that he's going to get.
Right, right. I won't want anything else after this. Right. Yeah, maybe for a month.
Yeah.
The newness wears off quickly. And this is the net. This is what Proverbs 27:20 is telling us. It's human nature, and this is why, again, we have to do what Paul says. We have to learn how to be content. We have to teach ourselves to be content. And we'll talk about how to do that. So here's some quotes on your paper. Contentment is really greater than riches. For if contentment does not produce riches, it achieves the same object by banishing the desire for them. You know, sometimes people want to become rich. Well, contentment's greater than riches, because if you don't get the riches, that's all right, because contentment will remove the desire for riches. You see? So you end up in a better situation. And then another quote here. It is a blessed secret when the believer learns how to carry a high head with an empty stomach, an upright look with an empty pocket, and a happy heart with an unpaid salary, and joy in God when men are faithless. You know, no matter what you have or don't have, you should still have joy and faith in God. And then lastly, I like what J. Vernon McGee says. He always gives the good practical quotes here. He says, I have prayed for him to make me just as content tape recording in my office as I am out in Hawaii enjoying the beautiful scenery. J. Vernon McGee has a radio program. He's passed away for some years now, but he has a radio program called Through the Bible. And Genesis to Revelation. He has radio broadcasts on every passage. You know, some Christian radio stations broadcast it. You can get it online. It's very good. But he said, I want to be just as content doing that work in my office as I would be out in Hawaii. Just be content wherever you are. So Paul says, I have learned. You know, there's a passage in the New Testament that talks about Paul learning at the feet of Gamaliel, a great teacher. But one man pointed out that what Paul is learning here, he did not learn at the feet of Gamaliel. He learned at the feet of Christ. That's where we learn how to be content. We learn it from Christ. He says in go back to Philippians 4. He goes on. Philippians 4 and verse number 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. So your next blank is abound. I know how to be abased, meaning made low, and I know how to abound, to be lifted up. Both have their challenges. Both. First, let's talk about the challenges in the low times. The challenges in the low times are that we can begin to complain when we're in a low time. We can complain. We can get upset even at the Lord. Lord, why aren't you providing this for me? Or why aren't you doing this for me? Why am I going through this valley right now? We lose. Sometimes our faith gets weakened if we allow it to. So in the low times, there's those problems. Complaining. Not trusting the Lord. But what about in the good times? There's also trials to overcome. In the good times, we have to watch out about becoming proud. Oh, look at what I've accomplished. Look at all these great things I've earned. And success can make us become filled with pride. That's a temptation in the good times. Or, as Brother John mentioned, complacency. I've arrived now. I can begin to take it easy now. Things are good. I have all these wonderful blessings now, so now I can take it easy. Wrong. You got to keep working for the Lord and keep doing your best, whether things are good or bad. Of course, it's in the prosperous times that we have a temptation to forget God. God warned the Israelites, didn't he? Before they went into the promised land, he said, beware, lest when you get into the promised land and you have all these things, vineyards you didn't plant and houses you didn't build and all these things, that you begin to forget me. That's the problem with America today. America, yeah, sure, we know there's the economy and you hear about it all the time. And sure, there are people that are genuinely struggling, looking for jobs. We know that. But let's face it, compared to the rest of the world, America's still doing pretty good. And what happens is America has forgotten God. This is the problem.
Amen.
So, you see, there's trials in both areas of life. When you're in the low times, there's temptations to fight. And when you're doing well, there's temptations to fight. So that's why Paul says, again, whether I'm doing well or doing badly, whatever it is I'm in, whatever condition I'm in, I've learned to be content. Adela? Yes. Yeah, in Proverbs, it talks about that. Yeah, he said, feed me with food convenient for me. Don't give me too much, lest I forget you. Don't give me too little, lest, you know, I be made to steal and this and that. He says, just give me what I need. And that should always be our prayer. Lord, give me what I need. Not what I want. Give me what I need. And that's what God promises to do anyway. God promises to meet our needs. Now, if we were all honest here this morning, I think God's given us more than our needs. We're all blessed. All right? And we all have more than we need. All right? I mean, we could list some things that we technically don't really need to survive. Now, some people might disagree. I'll list one, all right? Do you really need a computer to survive? Yes, I do. Yeah. Some people might say that. But if we were honest, you could live without it. Now, we all enjoy using them, yes. But do you need TV and cable to survive? No. But I think everyone in this room right now has it. You know, these are not needs of survival. You know, so we could list things. You know, how did people live before cell phones? Because apparently now nobody can live without them. Apparently now, some people have them surgically attached to their hands all day long. Here I go. One more thing. Isaiah and I were able to go to a ball game this week. We found cheap tickets last minute, so we just went. And we're in row 3. Upper deck. Not lower deck. No. Row 3 at the top. So, you know. We're the front of the top. But what do I see on row 1 for 90% of the game? These people on their iPhones. Thinking to myself, why are you even here? You can't even, you know, so some people would feel they can never let go of their cell phone. But again, are those really needs? Not really. We think they're needs, but they're really not. They're really not. Tony?
Our nephew, who's a pastor, Baptist pastor now, opened up his little store.
Right, Baptist Korean church.
No TV in his house.
God bless him. And that's a good decision. Some people make that decision. I don't blame them. Some people make that decision just to get rid of the nonsense. You know, listen, there's a lot of things that we Americans, growing up here or living here for a number of years, things that we think are needs, but they're really not. So let's face it, God has given us more than we need. And Paul says, I've learned to, whatever it is, the good times and the bad times. And then he goes on in verse number 12. Everywhere and in all things, again, he uses these words, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So we have two blanks here. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. the life of Paul, he's just talking from personal experience here. Paul said, listen, I've been in places where I've been well fed, taken care of. But he says, I've also been in times where I've gone without food for some time. Paul talked about all his trials in another passage where he discusses being shipwrecked and going through this trial and being thrown in the prison. All the things that Paul went through, even as he writes this letter, he's in prison. All these things, he's speaking just from personal experience. But he says, I've been instructed to know how to react in both situations. We need to do a church history of Community Baptist Church for everybody. If you don't know the whole history, it's quite interesting. You should ask somebody, one of these men that knows. Brother Henry could probably tell you the whole history. Brother Sable could probably tell you the whole history. It's interesting. But you know, even churches have ups and downs, don't they? Ups and downs. So that this applies to every area of life, whether it be you as an individual, or in your family, or in your work life, or in your church life. Every area has ups and downs, and we need to learn to be content in both. And then he uses these words at the end of verse 12, both to abound and to suffer need. Last, the blank there for that, both to abound and to suffer need. So the quote here is good. How had the apostle learned such a lesson? How did Paul learn this lesson? Simply in this way. He was confident that he was in the will of God. And that is one of the secrets to being content. Knowing that you are in God's will. And that allows you to say, alright, you know what? I'm where God wants me. I'm doing what God wants me to do. So you know what? This is part of God's plan. It's okay if it's a low time. And then when the blessings come, alright. You know, just keep on doing the right things and keep doing what you were doing before. Don't change things. Keep serving the Lord. So this is how Paul learned this lesson. He knew he was in God's will. Paul didn't begin to question God when maybe during the times where he didn't have support coming in and he had to work. Paul didn't sit there and say, oh man, maybe I'm not in God's will, or maybe God's not blessing me. No, he knew it was all part of God's plan. And when you know that what you're going through is part of God's plan, it allows you to just accept it better. Like we know from Romans 8:28, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, right? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
You see, we know that all those things work. So the low times, the good times, and God sometimes just has lessons for us to learn. Sometimes God allows us to go through low times, whether it be financially or health-wise, whatever it is, just to teach us some lessons. Maybe just to remind us that we're not in charge. See, that's another problem with the good times. Sometimes we begin to think that, you know, we got it all under control. You know, I got it all under control. Look, everything's good. Checkbook's good. Health is good. Everything's good. I'm good. And we don't say it out loud, but we begin to feel like we don't need God anymore. Oh, it's all good. Everything's great. Sometimes God says, oh, really? Let's touch this button here. And change this. And it reminds us, oh Lord, I do still need you. And we need him in the good times and the bad times. So Paul said these words. He says, I've learned to be content. And we can learn it. And sometimes God teaches us in his own way. But we need to learn. We can learn the verses that we've quoted this morning. That can help us to learn contentment. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of how blessed we really are. Being thankful. And that's where we get to verse 13. A very familiar verse in the Bible, but it's in this passage. You know, you can't cut verses out from and remove them from the passage they're in. I mean, sure, this verse can apply to other things, but look at what passage it's in. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now we, you know, it's a great verse of the Bible, and it can apply to any area of your life, but what's the context? He's talking about contentment. He's talking about learning to be content and serving God in the good times and the bad times. And he says, I can do all these things through Christ because he's the one that strengthens me. You see, this verse is connected with this passage. So the first and primary application of this verse is in the area of being content. You can be content through Christ. You can be content, is what this verse is telling us. I can do, and that's where the blank is, all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can be content in the bad times because Christ strengthens me. I can still serve God and trust God even when things are going well because Christ strengthens me. That's what it means. And that's why the quote at the very bottom of your page, before we look up some verses, says, we need His strength to teach us to be content in every condition. It's only as we rely on Christ that we can be content. It is not part of human nature to be content. We already read the verse in Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, and the eyes of man are never satisfied. That's human nature. Never satisfied. Never enough. Always wanting more. But through Christ, we can be content. Let's look at some verses. John 15:5. Just look at a few more verses here this morning. And if somebody would read for us John 15, verse 5.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
You can't do this on your own. You can't be content on your own. You need the Lord to help you to be content. Only Christ can help you. How about Ephesians 3:16? Ephesians 3:16. If somebody would read that for us. Ephesians 3, verse 16.
God appeared gradually and applying to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit.
Notice, we can have that strength from the Lord. And it talks about that might by His Spirit in the inner man. Holy Spirit can help you to have that. And then Ephesians 6:10, talking about being strong in the Lord. Let's have somebody read us Ephesians 6:10. It's only in the power of His might that we can be strong in the Lord. And then one last verse, 2 Timothy 2:1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Again, talking about being strong. 2 Timothy 2:1. Starts with thou therefore. 2 Timothy 2:1. Brother Tony, you got it? Second to me?
No. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. Thou therefore, be strong in the grace. So, it takes strength to be content.
Yes.
It's a battle. We all have the wants and wishes, and that's the flesh. The Bible talks about it in 1 John chapter 2, right? The lust of the eyes. Things that we see, oh, I'd like to have that. The lust of the flesh, things that we desire. That could apply to anything. Maybe sometimes people covet after positions. Sometimes people covet a position. You know, they're not happy unless like they're the manager, or unless they get a certain place in the job place. That's another form of covetousness. Covetousness could apply to anything. It doesn't just apply to money. It could apply to positions and power and all these things that we can covet and desire. Don't allow yourself to spend your days in unhappiness simply because you're not content. It's just wasting day after day of being unhappy because you want something that you think you should have. Listen, God knows what we should have. God knows what we should and shouldn't have. And sometimes the things that we want, God says, no, that's not what I want for you. And God knows what's best for us. Just like a child. Sometimes a child will ask for something and the parent knows that that's not a good idea. And the child, I want that, I want that. And the parent wisely says, no, that's not a good thing for you to have. It, you know, because the parent foresees the problems ahead that that might cause. Parent has that wisdom. God, all-knowing, knows what's best for us. And the very thing that we want, God might say no, because that could lead you the wrong way. You see, and we think that it'll be the best thing for us. Oh, if I just got this position at my job, everything will be great. Or if I just had this, everything will be wonderful. And God's up in heaven saying, no, that would be the worst thing for you, because it will lead you down the wrong path. Maybe it'll take you away from the Lord somehow, some way. So be careful what you ask for. Let God decide what you should have and be content with what He gives you, however much or however little. And we could say like Paul, I've learned to be content. It's a lesson we can learn. It doesn't happen automatically, and it might take some time. It's not that one day we just arrive and, all right, I'm good from now on. I'll be content from now on. No, it's a daily battle, and we need to ask God to help us. So let's pray.